Hey everybody, this is Mike McCabe with Our Wisconsin Revolution. School choice is one of the recent fads that have blown over American education. It was pitched 30 years ago as a miracle cure for what ailed American schools. As it became increasingly clear over the years that taxpayer-subsidized private schooling had no magical powers, the school accountability movement took hold and students started being tested to death. It enriched the standardized testing industry, but has done little else. Then came the school-to-work craze and STEM education, shorthand for a school curriculum focused on science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. These fixations haven't prevented the American education system from continuing to slide toward mediocrity internationally. They have driven teaching of the arts and civics to the brink of extinction. The federal government spends $50 per student per year on STEM programs. That compares to 5 cents per student per year spent federally on civics. That won't sustain a democracy. Education is important, and good schools are preferable to mediocre or poor ones. So we have to rearrange our priorities because America is no longer even close to providing the best education in the world. The road to an improved U.S. education system is long and winding, but spend some time talking to the frontline soldiers in the education wars, namely classroom teachers, and they'll clue you in on some good places to start the journey. First, keep state and national politicians as far away from schools as possible. It's a crying shame it has come to this, but the less education is pondered on Capitol Hill and in state capitals, the better off schools will be. Restoring local community control of schools needs to be job one. Second, stop testing kids to tears. All the incessant testing done nowadays hurts students by cutting deeply into the time devoted to actual teaching and learning. The politicians' testing fetish grew out of a desperate desire to do an end run around a reality they find intolerably uncomfortable. That being the fact that even the very best educators will almost always fail when they work in inadequately equipped schools and are tasked with teaching profoundly disadvantaged students. Rather than try to eliminate or at least diminish the disadvantages, the politicians looked for an easier route. Nonstop testing gives them someone to point fingers at. It produces a plentiful supply of scapegoats, but does little or nothing to help struggling students learn better or all students learn more. Third, align expectations with investments. Excellence doesn't come cheap. It is no coincidence that the best performing schools are consistently found where education spending is highest. But this is another reality that politicians find uncomfortable, which is why they are forever in search of the scholastic equivalent of fairy dust, and why American education is so prone to fads. The national group Parents Across America points to one strategy in particular that has proven effective over the years: class size reduction. But having smaller classes means hiring more teachers, and that costs money. Replacing the industrial age factory model of schools and the mass production assembly line approach to instruction with a more personalized, flexible, and interactive approach can reverse the decline of U.S. educational performance. Still, it requires smaller classes and smaller schools, and that gives politicians the willies. As a society, we have decisions to make and priorities to set. If we expect excellence, we need to act like that's what we want. If we can live with diminished international competitiveness that comes with increasing educational mediocrity here at home, then fads and fairy dust will do just fine. For Our Wisconsin Revolution, I'm Mike McCabe.